Brother Paul Mahan from, is it Central Grace Church? And that's all you need to know about him. His name is Paul Mahan. He's going to come and preach the gospel to us. Come on, Brother Paul. Take all the time you need. We're in no hurry.
It was a blessing, Brother Bruce. Thank the Lord. I'm Brother Mike for that message and for you. I thank the Lord for your pastor. Known him for quite some time now, I guess. I don't know how long. It's been a while. This is Mindy and I, our first visit here to this building. We're happy to be here and just an honor. Anytime a man asks me to preach, it's quite an honor, isn't it? It is. We don't just let anybody preach, do we, Fred? No, sir. Very zealously guard the pulpit. We do know. So it's quite an honor, and I would not betray that trust for anything. And like Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I thank the Lord, though, for your pastor. I listen to preaching for my own benefit, my own profit, don't we? We need to be fed too, don't we? And I quite often go to your pastor first. I really do. And Brother Mike, listen to him a lot. And there's a fellow named Mahan, another preacher I listen to. Well, that's my pastor. That's how you know a man's your pastor. That's who you want to hear preach, right? That's the man that the Lord used you to, used him to reveal the gospel to you. And that's your pastor, and he still is. And that's who I listen to mostly. But I sure am blessed by Brother Bruce and Brother Mike. Thank the Lord for them. Brother Mike brought a message just now from the Old Testament, and I'm going to too. I'm going to try. Probably bring another one on Sunday from the Old Testament. A lot of people call it the Old Bible, don't they? It's just one Bible, old and new. It's all the same story. The Old Testament says someone's coming. That's the whole Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi, says someone's coming. It speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospels say He's here. He's here. And the Epistles and Revelation say He's coming again. It's all about Him. Why do we preach the Old Testament? Well, number one, it's God's Word. That's why. Number two is because it's the Bible that the prophets preach from. It's the Bible that the apostles preach from. It's the Bible that our Lord Jesus Christ preached from. That's what He preached from, didn't He? He opened the books of Moses and the law and the prophets and expounded unto them what? The things concerning Himself. All Scripture testifies of Christ. To Him give all the prophets witness, don't they? Our Lord said that. He said, they are they which testify of me. In the volume of the book it is written of me, Christ said. Lo, I come to do thy will. All of the Old Testament. And the Old Testament, these types and pictures and symbols of the Lord Jesus Christ who was to come, prove Him to be the Christ. When He came, He's the only one that fulfilled those, wasn't it?
Yes.
Clearly. They prove Him to be the Christ. Exact details, everything concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, exact details and prophecies in the Old Testament that pictured the Christ who was to come. And when He came, that's Him. Got to be Him. The only one that fits all the types and sent up type. We have a couple been coming for a few years now, and they both just confessed the Lord in baptism. And I was preaching and kept saying something about the types. And afterward, Brother Fred, he came up to me and said, "What are types?" You take it for granted. People know what that is. No, a type is a representation of something, a picture of the real thing. Okay? And these types of Christ prove Him to be the Christ when He came. But the Lord must reveal these things to us, mustn't He? He must reveal Himself to us. The Old Testament is like a book of parables, if you will. It's all hidden. It's all hidden. But when the Lord reveals Christ to you in these things, it's a revelation. When you see all these, like the brazen serpent, the woman's seed, the smitten rock, the kinsman redeemer. See, God only reveals these things to His people. Yes. He hides these things from the wise and prudent. People all over think it's just an old book of Jewish fables and stories about, you know, faithful men and women. No, it's about Jesus Christ. Yes. Well, go with me to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to look at an old story, one that everybody thinks they know. Noah and his ark. Everybody thinks they know this story, don't they? It's all about how the Lord, Noah saved the animals. Right? Well, there's no clearer type, or there's no more wonderful and glorious type in all the Word of God of Christ than Noah and his ark. Noah himself represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ark represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing more clearly if He reveals it to you. I love that Proverbs 8, I believe it's verse 8, says it's all plain to him that understands it. When He gives you eyes to see. This story of Noah and his ark is a true story. I know it's so. How do you know? God said it. It's not a cunningly devised fables, not some old allegory like people say. And I'm not going to argue with potsherds. I'm not going to do it. It's true. We're not called to prove God. The heavens declare His glory. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day others speak. Everything declares God is. You don't need to argue with blind men. That's futile, isn't it? We don't stand up here and try to prove God. We declare it. We preach Him, don't we? Preach the truth. This is a true story. Noah and his ark. Okay? And this story clearly testifies of Christ and Him crucified. I'll make this as plain as I can. Hope the Lord will make it plain. This story represents, it shows that there's salvation only in Jesus Christ. Let me make this very clear. Like this ark. Outside of Christ, you'll perish. In Christ, there's life. In Adam, all die. In Christ, all made alive. Right? In this story of the ark, everyone outside of the ark perished, didn't it? Who lives? Only those in the ark. Now that's the gospel.
Yes, it is.
That's the gospel. Now all have heard this story. Few people believe it. Few people believe it's a true story. Even fewer people know the meaning or even care. But as I say it, very simply, all in the ark were saved. All outside the ark perished. Do you know how many, I know you hear your pastor preach all the time of being in God, in Christ. You know how many times in the Scriptures it talks about being in Christ, in Christ, in Christ? Listen to that. Here's a verse in Ephesians that tells us the story of Noah and the ark. In the dispensations of the fullness of times, He's going to gather together in one all things in Christ. Yeah, even in Him. Like Noah gathered all those animals and everyone was saved only in that ark. In Christ. In Christ. Genesis 6. Couldn't be simpler, couldn't be plainer. Now, Noah and his ark. Noah and the ark represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Like Psalm 14 says, God looked down upon the children of men to see if there were any that didn't understand. If there were any that seek after God, he says, none. They altogether become filthy, stinking, rotten. There's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Isn't that what the Lord said? That's how God beholds this planet, the people in it. Verse 6 says, it repented the Lord that He made man on the earth. It grieved Him at His heart. Now, the Lord is speaking in a language we can understand. God is not a man that He should repent or turn. But what He's saying is in a language we can understand. You know, we would say something like, I wish I'd have never made you. To show His utter detestation and abhorrence. It says the whole earth had corrupted His way, didn't it? The whole earth had corrupted His way and was full of violence. You know, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke of Noah, didn't He? When people scoff and mock at the truth, they're mocking the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe everything He said. He spoke of Noah and the ark, didn't He? He said, as in the days of Noah, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Didn't it? Peter spoke of it in both of his letters. Hebrews speaks of it. It's a dire warning and yet a wonderful promise. And our Lord spoke of Noah and his ark. And verse 7 says, the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air. It repented me that I've made them. And that's what Peter said. He said, don't. He said, the same earth that was destroyed by flood is kept in store, reserved unto fire. But then, people scoff at that. Don't tell me, preacher. Are you preaching fire and brimstone? You know who said that? Fire and brimstone. Jesus Christ. Not some wild maniac standing on the street corner holding a sign. The Lord Jesus Christ said that. It's serious. This message is serious. You're either in Jesus Christ or you're not. It's that serious. We need to know. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Am I in Christ or am I not? He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. People talk all the time about a fellow. He's living the good life. Meaning he's got a good job and got a house and got a 4x4 with a 12-inch lift or something. He's living the good life. If he doesn't have Christ, he doesn't have life at all. He's a dead man. He's dead while he lives. Who said that? God did. Christ did. In Christ or out of Christ? Which is it? The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth. But Noah, verse 8, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now Noah, he represents every sinner saved by grace, doesn't it? But I'm looking at him right now as the Lord Jesus Christ. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's going to be a savior, as it were, of the animals and his family and all that. But Jesus Christ is the grace of God. He is the grace of God. Noah, his name means rest. His name means rest. What did our Lord say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is the grace of God. Down in, let's see, it's verse chapter 7, verse 1 says, the Lord said, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Oh my, the Lord is well pleased for his son's righteousness' sake, Scripture says, Isaiah 42. Well pleased for his righteousness' sake. The Lord looked down to see if there were any. He said, there's none but one. And the Lord said, that's my well-beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. You better hear him. You better come when he calls, because you're only going to be saved through him. When he comes, or when he calls you, you better come to him. But he's the one that you're going to be accepted in. He's the Savior, like Noah. Look at this. It says Noah was a just man and perfect. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. The only just man who ever lived. Walked with God. Our Lord not only walked with God, he is God. God walked this earth as a man. The whole earth was corrupt, God said. Noah was just and perfect, though. And God said to Noah in verse 13 and 14, God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them, through flesh. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Make an ark. God told Noah to make an ark. Well, in a council, in a covenant before the world began, eternal covenant with his Son, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, made a covenant. And what God said to Christ was, you're going to be the ark. You're going to be the ark. I'm going to make you to be the ark. I'm going to make you to be sin. I'm going to make you to be the curse. I'm going to make you to be the sin offering. You're going to be the ark. Not only make it, but be it. Make an ark. Look at verse 14. With rooms, it said. Of gopher wood. Gopher wood. I don't think we have that around here, do we? Gopher wood. None in Virginia, anyway. But we have locusts. No, that's pretty similar, I believe. It's impervious to decay. It just won't rot, will it? It's insects can't, you know, hardly bother. Can't. It lives a long time on a locust tree. And this gopher wood was like that. Well, this represents our Lord's sinless humanity. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but without sin. Impervious to sin. And decay. He's sinless. Make an ark. You're going to be made flesh, our God says to his Son. You're going to be made flesh, sinless flesh, like unto his people, but without sin. Rooms, look at verse 14. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Brother Mike, does your center reference say, what does it say about rooms there? Mine says nests. Nests! Where are they? In him. In the ark. Our Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He is our nesting place, our resting place. Rooms. Rooms. And read on. It says in verse 14, thou shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. If there's a key verse, this is it. Pitch. I know you men, if you've ever built a house, that you've taken that black tar and coated the foundation of it, haven't you? And maybe some of you women. But that's what pitch is. It waterproofs your house, doesn't it? And the Lord told, and what pitch comes from is a tree. Like pine tar. That's the base substance of it. In other words, you've got to wound a tree. An evergreen tree planted by the rivers of water. You've got to wound a tree and that sap, that substance, you know that's what myrrh is? That's what the balm of Gilead is. It's a sap of a tree that's wounded. They don't cut it down, they just wound it. And out of that wound comes myrrh, the balm of Gilead. Well, this pitch, this tar substance that's going to cover this boat inside and out so that the wrath of God, the rain, is not going to touch those in it. That represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord told Noah, you pitch it. You pitch it, Noah. You put that blood all over that ark, on the outside and the inside. People were saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. His own precious blood, which He shed for the remission of our sin. And it's not only on the outside, but it's on the inside. It's on the inside. You know, they were like the children of Israel were in the homes in Egypt. And that blood was applied on the doorpost and lintel. And they couldn't see it, could they? Well, God said, you don't need to see it. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Did. But, I want to see the blood, don't you? I want to see the blood. And the Lord pitched this ark on the outside and the inside. Is it pitched? Will it cover? Will it hold? Pitch it on the outside. Pitch it on the inside. Pitch it good, Noah. Pitch it good. One drop of water can't fall on my people. And brethren, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ actually put away the sins of His people. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's sin, covers us. There's not one sin going to be held to our account. Not one sin. We're not going to be charged with one sin.
Amen. Yes.
It says that He laid down His life. He was made a propitiation for us. That word propitiation in the New Testament is actually the same word as pitch. Covering. Covering. Pitch. Look at verse... that's the blood of Christ. Verse 15. This is the fashion of it. It had a pattern in it. This is the way you're going to have to make it. The length of the ark shall be this. The breadth of the ark. The height of the ark. What did Paul say about it? Oh, that we might know the length, the height, the breadth, the depth of the love of Christ with passive knowledge. This ark was glorious, wasn't it? Not to the human eyes. Kind of like that tabernacle in the wilderness, wasn't it? That old brown tent covered with badger skin, the Hivites and the Hittites and the parasites. All those ites would go by and they'd see that brown ark out there and the people all gathered around it and they all say, what are they seeing that? Well, look at our temple over here in Persia. Look at this. What are they seeing that? We had to go on the inside to see the beauty of it. Our Lord was made flesh, and it says that there was no beauty that we should desire in it. He had no form or comeliness. This boat wasn't beautiful to look at. Noah and his family thought it was the most beautiful boat they'd ever been on. Oh, my. It was their salvation. Make it out of gopher wood and pitch it. And here's the pattern of it. In verse 16, it says, a window. One window. One source of light. One source of light. A window. Not many. One window. Didn't Christ say, I am the light of the world? You're not in Christ. You don't know Christ. You don't have light. You're in darkness even the sudden. I am the light. Don't you imagine that Shem, Ham, Japheth, their wives and everybody, when that rain started falling, that they all ran up and when they felt that boat moving, don't you know they all went up and ran to look out that window? You reckon? There was one window in that ark. And they all went up there to look out that window. There's only one place that they could go to look out on the world and see it for what it really is. What? What did they see when looking out that window of the ark? How did they see the world? Perishing. Right? In Christ. That's what our Lord said. He came. He said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save it. But He's coming back to destroy it. He is. That's no fable. That's fact. And in Christ, who is our wisdom, our light, we see this world for what it is, a perishing world. And we must be in Christ. Like Noah and his family were in the ark, we must be in that ark. Because he's coming. He said, I'm at the door. One window. Look at this, verse 16. And a door, the door. How many doors were there? One door. What did Christ say? I am the door. By me. I'm the only way. There's only one way in this ark. Somebody tried to climb up. Kick him out. There's only one way in. One way in. Christ is the door. He said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Look at verse 16. It says, you'll set it in the side thereof with lower, second, and third stories. How many stories were in that ark? Three stories, one ark. Three stories, one ark. God, hear, O Israel, our God is one God. He's God the Father, He's God the Son, He's God the Holy Spirit in it. He's one. In Christ. In Christ. One God. The only God we'll ever see, only God we'll ever know, is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Three in one. Three stories. Three left. Look at verse 17 and 18. It said, behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under the heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, Noah, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. I'm going to destroy the world, but you're going to live. And those with you are going to live. Now that's the gospel. That's the gospel. Christ said, the scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life. In Christ is life, and only in Christ is there life. Christ and him crucified. Now look at chapter 7. Look at verse 11. It said, now in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, same day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were open. In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. It was an exact time that God had purposed before the world began for this rain to start falling. An exact time. And in the fullness of time, that's when it happened. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Made of one, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, to be made a curse for them. The law is a curse, and Christ came to be made a curse for them. This boat, this ark, was the safety of and the salvation of all those in it. God was going to rain. God's wrath was going to fall. You know, Scripture says in Romans 1 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth, hold down, suppress. Peter said, in mentioning the ark, he said they're willingly ignorant. They suppress the truth in spite of the clearest evidences, clear things that prove they suppress it, that they're willingly ignorant of creation and that there was a great flood and all perished. There wasn't no ice age people. There was a flood, though. There was a flood, right? But Peter said they're willingly ignorant of that. Willingly ignorant. But God made a covenant with His Son, that He would come to this earth and be the ark and be the salvation of His people, to be made sin for them, He who knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That He would bear the wrath of God that was due us. He would bear it in His body, bear our sins in His body on the cross. Christ and Him crucified. This ark represents Christ and Him crucified. When the wrath of God fell, the rain fell and destroyed all flesh, not one drop fell on those in the ark. Why? Because the ark took it all. All the rain fell on the ark. That pitch kept that rain from coming in on them. That's the blood of Christ. Christ and Him crucified. It's not just Christ. It's Christ crucified.
Yes.
He came to be made sin. He came to die. He said, for this cause came I into the world. Because this world is dead and dying, I came to give them life. How did He come to give them life? By laying down His life.
Yes.
By dying for them. And so that rain fell. Look at verse 17. Oh, I loved it. I won't even touch the hem of this whole garment. There's so much here, but verse 17, the flood was 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bear up the ark, and it was lifted up above the ark. I love this picture. Picture this with your mind's eye. Right? The rain fell 40 days and 40 nights. And everything was covered. The hills started being covered, the mountains, and Mount Everest, all everything was finally covered. The whole earth was covered with water. But there's one thing that's above it all. One thing rose above it all, lifted up, high and lifted up for every eye to see. Well, the only ones that saw it was in the ark. That ark. That's Christ and Him crucified. He said, if I be lifted up, Son of Man must be lifted up. He must be crucified to bear His people's wrath, to bear the sin of God's people. Christ crucified. In Adam, all died. They died, didn't they? All flesh died. Everything that had breath in it died. But not one person in that ark died. In Christ will all be made alive.
Amen.
Right there's the promise. Right there's the promise. The salvation of God's people, the gospel of Christ, like that ark, was all predesigned and predetermined before the world began. It was ordered in all things and sure. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth of it, the number of rooms in it, the animals were numbered. God declared the end from the beginning. Now, who was in that ark? Look at verse 18 of chapter 6. Who was in that ark? God said to Noah, with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives. In other words, it was his family, Noah's people. There were no strangers in that ark. Doesn't the Scripture say, for the transgression of my people was he stricken? Huh? Call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? His people from their sin. God said this. God determined this. God determined who would be in that ark. Then. Who? Noah's family. Noah's family. His wife. She's going to be there. Well, she doesn't want to come. She's going to be there. Is he going to be there? His sons. All his sons are going to be there. Not one of them going to be missing. They were there. Didn't Christ say that? All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. They're all going to be there. Not one of them missing. He said, all that you've given me, I've kept. Not one of them is missing. They all came. Why did they come in? Why did the sons of Noah and his wife and their wives come into that ark? Why? Because God told them to.
Yes.
God said, come now. Then come in that ark. God said so, and look at this. These animals, all these animals. We'll look at them a little bit here. These animals. Why were they in that? Look at verse 19. It says, of every living thing, of all flesh, two of every sort. He's talking to Noah now. This is all between God and Noah. He's not consulting anybody. He's not asking Noah's sons. He's not asking Noah's wife. It's all between God and Noah, isn't it? This is what you're going to do. This is what's going to happen. And God gave this command. They're coming in. And this covenant was made between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit concerning His people. We weren't around when that covenant was made. It's ordered in all things and sure. Aren't you glad? And look at verse 19. Of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, he's talking to Noah, shalt thou bring into the ark. Noah, you're going to bring them all into it. If they're going to get in this ark, you're going to bring them. Why? To keep them alive. Verse 20. Fowl of every kind, cattle of every kind, creeping things of every kind, two of every sort, shall come unto thee. They shall. Why? To keep them alive. That's what you're here for, Noah, to keep them alive. Not to offer them life, to keep them alive. Not to invite them to come in. Noah didn't go out and invite any animal. He brought them in. Isaiah 43, that same chapter that he read, it says, I will say unto the north, bring my sons. Are they coming? God will work and who will let it? I will say, Shem, Ham, who was in that ark? Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Who do they represent? Every single tribe, kindred, nation coming to him. God has a people out of tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue under heaven, doesn't it? All of them. Where are they? They're in Christ. They're in Christ. He doesn't have one son outside of Christ. They're all in Christ. All in Christ. And like those animals out of every kind, like those that came out of Egypt, says there's a mixed multitude. They had all one thing in common. They were in Christ. They were in that ark. A mixed multitude. But in that ark, all these animals had this one thing in common. They were in that ark. It didn't matter if they were big, didn't matter if they were little, it didn't matter if they were male, didn't matter if they were female, it didn't matter if they were this or that and the other, were a snail or if they were an elephant, it didn't matter, did it? They're all the same, aren't they? They're in that ark. And in Christ, there's no Jew, no Gentile, no male, no female, no rich, no poor, all the same, aren't they? Sinners saved by grace. Sinners saved by grace. There's no distinction. You know the story of the Titanic. And, you know, there were all sorts of people on that boat, on that ship. By the way, the owners or the makers of that boat, the architects, said it can't sink. No way. Didn't it? Cannot sink. I think the owner or the architect was on that ship. I think he was. I think he perished. Can't sink. Don't you know they said about that Noah's Ark can't float? No way. Ain't no way that boat float. Well, they said about the Ark, it can't sink. Well, there was everybody. Everybody was clamoring to get on that ship. You know, a who's who in society. The rich, the famous were on that ship. Doctors, politicians, you know, royalty were on that ship. Wise, mighty, and noble, as well as the galley workers, the cooks, the poor. There was lots of people on that ship. Okay? But when it was all over and that ship went down, they posted on a board and they had two categories. It didn't list what they owned, didn't list what they knew, didn't list what they obtained, it didn't list anything about those people. All it said was saved, lost. In Christ, out of Christ. That's it. You see, if these animals could talk, every one of those animals would say, I'm here because He called me. I'm here because He chose me. Noah went out and chose whom he would to put in that ark. Well, preacher, you've got to give an invitation. No, you don't. This is the message. This is what God uses. This is what God uses to bring them in. It's a mystery, isn't it? Just declare it, and He'll bring them in. Declare who He is. Don't you have to offer them salvation? No! Every one of those animals would say, I'm here because Noah chose me. Noah went out there and he saw a herd of elk. Okay? He didn't say, which one of you elks want to get on the ark? Did he? Taking applications. No, he said, and he had Shem, Ham. You reckon he had them helping him some? Shem, Ham, and Japheth? God has his preacher. He uses his preachers to go out to preach this gospel. He doesn't tell them, go out and invite sinners. He said, you just preach the gospel. I'll bring them in. Watch them come. Watch them come. And Noah said, Shem, get that one. Japheth, no, that. You see that little scrawny one, that ugly one, that weak one? Get that one. Make sure you get that one. And that one, and that one, and that one, and that one, and bring them. Bring them in. Every one of those animals would say, the reason I'm in this ark is because Noah chose me, called me, and brought me. And every single person saved by the grace of God says that very thing, doesn't it? There's no room for boasting in that ark, was it? No room for boasting. The lion couldn't say, I got here because I'm strong. You got there because Noah brought you. How many lions were there? He chose the one he would. No horse, no noble steed could say, I'm faster, I'm swifter. No, it's not to the swift. Look and see that old donkey over there? See that old mule? You ain't no better than him. He's chosen too. No owl could say, I'm wiser than the rest of them. I knew better, so I came in. No, you didn't. You're here because Noah brought you. Right? None were there by their free will. All were there by free grace. None were there by their choice. All were there by Noah's choice, weren't they? And so it is with God's people that are in Christ. You know, no wild animal would have come on that ark of his own free will, would it? A lion? Would you imagine Noah? Would you like, Mr. Lion, would you like to come on this ark? He had to be made willing, didn't he? He had to be made willing. He had to be tamed. He had to be brought down, didn't he? When you think of Simon Peter, when I think of Simon Peter, I think of an old rough, gruff longshoreman, fisherman, don't you? Think of a fellow that's just going to fight you, look at you, don't you? Cussing and rip-roaring and snorting and when he'd get out on leave, he'd get in port after fishing. He'd go for a few mugs of grog, you know, and just fight, just clean house, wouldn't he? He did that in the garden. And it wasn't after the Lord left that he started cussing and reverting right, didn't he? You think of Peter like that? Rough, gruff fellow. Big, strong, rough, and gruff fellow. Well, one day, a Jewish rabbi came by. And there were a bunch of boats out in that harbor, in that Sea of Galilee. Bunch of boats, bunch of fishermen, just like old Simon Peter. And this Jewish rabbi walked up and said, follow me. He walked on. And Simon Peter, nobody tells him what to do. Simon Peter, something came over him. Someone came over him. And buddy, he dropped everything. And he followed Christ. Wow, man, our Lord is able to save the uttermost. He's able to save the wild man. You wouldn't believe me. You wouldn't believe me if you'd have seen me. You're looking at a wild man. You're looking at the prodigal son. You're looking at the Gadarene demoniac here. I'm telling you the truth. Well, in that ark, for those animals to dwell together, had to be a great change. You know that? For the wolf to lie down with the lamb. For the lion not to eat the bullock. There has to be a great change, doesn't it? Every one of those animals had to have a new nature to dwell peaceably in that ark. Because there were no chains. There were no cages. There were nests. They were free. There was no bondage in that ark. Nobody in that ark was under bondage. Well, what's going to keep them from going at each other? Grace, power, change. Scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he's what? A new creature. A new creature. They all dwelled together peaceably. They were all glad to be there. They all thought that they were all grateful to be there. Weren't they? You reckon that, you know, dogs and cats just don't hardly get along, do they? You reckon that if one of those dogs kind of growled at one of those cats, what do you reckon Noah would have done? Yeah? Could have happened. Noah would have told him, the only reason you're here is because I chose you. You see the rest of those dogs out there? Who do you think you are? You're here by free grace. Sovereign grace. You get along. You get along. They all dwelled in peace and safety. There was not one death in that ark. Not one animal died in that ark. Can't do it. Can't do it. Christ said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You believe that? Can't do it. In Christ, all alive. All those animals were shut in. Says Noah, God, Lord, shut him in. They were all shut in. They were all sealed with that pitch. They couldn't get out if they wanted to. Don't you like that? They couldn't get out. You know, they were on that boat for a year. Did you know that? You didn't know that, did you? They were on there for a year. Don't you know, after a while, they said, when's this going to be over? I want out. No. Nothing out there for you. You'll get out when we all go out into a new world, and you'll be glad you stayed. There was no bondage. Like I said, they all ate the same food. They all ate the same food. What? Straw? Straw? Yeah, the lion ate straw like an ox. He loved it. He loved it. That was the best food he ever ate. Listen to me now. There was a time before the Lord revealed himself to me, and I couldn't stand this gospel. Bringing me to hear preaching was like pulling teeth. I'd rather do anything than this. But now, look here. Look at me. I'm preaching it. Like Paul, like Saul of Tarsus, said, he that destroyed the faith now preaches it. What happened? Well, it sure wasn't me. A change, you know. A new nature. Causes a wild man to love what he once hated and hated what he once loved. To love this gospel. You know, our children, by nature, they don't want to come to church. It's the worst thing on earth. It's like tormenting. I'm a preacher's kid. You know what they say about a preacher's kid? It was torment to me. But God. And I'm telling you the truth. There's nothing I'd rather do. We drove long ways to come here on Friday night of all night. And Saturday, we're going to do a Saturday. Are you crazy? Are you serious? Seriously. That lion, get a big gulp. I love this straw. I've never had this before. This gospel. You really love that? Yeah. And you can't make somebody love it, do you? The Lord's got to give them a taste for it, a taste of the Lord's grace, to love it, doesn't he, devil? And when he does, there's nothing you'd rather eat. They all ate the same food and loved it. I guess Noah ate straw too. But what's the food of God's people? What is the food of God's people? He said, Noah is the one that provided. He said, all of you're going to take the food and you're going to bring it, and whatever you give them, that's what they're going to eat. What did Christ say? Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Christ and Him crucified. You going to preach that again, preacher? Yes. And His sheep are going to go, yes. Aren't they? Yes! Sheep only eat one thing. Grass! Grass! He makes all His people to lie down in tender pastures and eat grass, and they just love, can't get enough of it. I used to have an old horse, a draft horse, Molly. She weighed about 1,700 pounds. And she'd eat that grass and eat the, that's what these elephants, you know, ate straw and got fat. And she, the horse would eat that grass, wouldn't she? And eat that grass, and she got so big until she'd just fall over on the grass. And then she'd lay there and eat some more. I'm telling you. And people think, is that all you all do? Isn't it wonderful? How many times have you heard this story, Noah and his ark? This is how you know the gospel's gospel to you. It's still new. It's still good. You never get tired of it. This is the gospel's good news. It never gets old to you. How many stories can you tell over and over again? Well, don't ask my wife. I tell the same old jokes and same old story. She's getting tired of them. But not this gospel, huh? Not this gospel. It's the same gospel we've been hearing from a child, and it never grows older. He gets sweeter. And those old lions and oxen, they were saying, after 360 days, got any more of that straw? Seriously. Food that Noah provided. Let me close with this. I got to quit. They all walked out of that ark one day into a new world. In the fullness of time, they all walked out of that ark into a new world. God said in Isaiah 65, "Behold, I make all things new." When that flood covered this world, there was no more of man's glory, man's works. It all was gone. There's nothing to be seen. No, nothing of man to be seen. Only that ark lifted up above it all. And in glory, Christ is going to get all the honor and all the glory. Everybody there is going to be singing about Him. But now, He has made us a new heaven and a new earth prepared for His people. And it's a wonderful thing, a glorious. Can you imagine all those animals? No, Shem, Ham, and Japheth after all that time walking out of that ark, the bright sunset. Yeah, we can't even enter into that. What it must have been like. Can't you see it? It's all ours. This whole place. Well, listen to what the Lord said in the last book. Now, we just looked at the first book. And here's what He says in the last book. He said, "I make all things new." He said, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." What's that? That's Christ. He'll dwell with them. He'll be with His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God. That's Christ. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor cry, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. And Isaiah said they won't even be remembered or come to mind. For the beauty and for the glory of that new heaven and new earth. He said, "You write this down. Write it down. It's true." He said, "I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. And I'll give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Christ said, "I live. And because I live, you shall live also." In Christ, out of Christ. In the ark, out of the ark. Which you get? Which ark? I pray you're in the ark. May the Lord bless you.